Bad Blood, a memoir written by the late literary critic Lorna Sage, won Britain's Whitbread Award last year. It's just been published in this country. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says Sage's voice reminds her of Lillian Hellman and M.F.K. Fisher, her illustrious predecessors in the tough dame school of female autobiography. Here's Maureen's review.
It's so commonplace for contemporary autobiographers to confess to some Jerry Springer-sized splotch on the soul that I think it takes more guts now for a writer to own up to the little fragilities that render us human, all too human. In part three of her magnificent memoir, Bad Blood, the late British literary critic Lorna Sage recalls how, as a teenager, she rushed around a windswept English sea resort one afternoon, clinging to her best girlfriend, the two of them emptying coins into every jukebox in town to make sure that Elvis's All Shook Up drowned out the rival sounds of Pat Boone's Love Letters in the Sand. I cringed when I read that passage. In the precise, haunting language that characterizes her book, Sage captures the hysteria of a still virginal but hormonal teenage girl. It's a passing moment of safe sex frenzy that most of us female readers, at least, have also enacted, long before cynicism drew a hip black veil of forgetfulness over the pastel pink embarrassing details. I don't want to give the misimpression that as a memoir, Bad Blood's gimmick is that it memorializes only the mundane. There's plenty of domestic cruelty and eccentricity of character here. The archfiend, the progenitor of the bad blood of Sage's title, is her grandfather, who reigned as the vicar of a tiny Welsh village when she was growing up in the 1940s. Think vicars like the Bronte sisters' gothic loon of a father, rather than those gentle servants of the Lord in Barbara Pym novels. Sage's grandfather carried on brazen assignations in the gorse bushes with the spinsters of the village, while his wife, Sage's grandmother, granted herself a secret divorce and some measure of financial independence by successfully blackmailing her husband with his own sexually explicit diaries. Sage, who spent her early childhood in the vicarage, says what made her grandparents' mutual confidence trick of a hateful marriage more than just a run-of-the-mill case of domestic estrangement was her grandmother's titanic anger. She simply refused, for decades, to keep up appearances, never cooking, cleaning, attending church, or uttering a good word about men as a species. Like most old devils, however, the vicar boasted some seductive attractions. A book lover, as well as an alcoholic, he taught the 4-year-old Sage to read, primarily to shut up her prattling so that he could drink in peace. The passion for reading he self-servingly imparted to his granddaughter distinguished her in the village school, a medieval institution where the head teacher would walk down a line of children and, ticking off their heads, pronounce which ones were predestined to be muck shovelers. Despite the prevailing village assumption that too much reading was known to send you daft, Sage threw herself into her studies. She also developed early into what a lecherous uncle called the poor man's Brigitte Bardot. And a true good-bad girl, she became pregnant at 16 without realizing she had had sex. Here's how Sage describes the pragmatic unreality of her situation. My parents' plan was that I should go to a church home for unmarried mothers, where you repented on your knees, scrubbed floors, said prayers, had your baby, which was promptly adopted by proper married people, and returned home humble and hollow-eyed. Everyone would magnanimously pretend that nothing had happened, so long as you never seemed to be having a good time or developing too high an opinion of yourself. From now on, you could count yourself lucky if they let you learn shorthand and typing. Look where so-called cleverness got you. You can tell by her nimble, tragicomic tone that Sage's story isn't going to turn out that way, and indeed it doesn't. There are so many compelling reasons to read Bad Blood, including the brilliance of Sage's literary interpretations, whether she's scrutinizing her grandfather's naughty diaries or the gloom and doom poetry of Thomas Hardy, as well as the vivid and very damp view she offers of post-war rural Britain, where electricity is still a novelty and the timeless landscape seems to be dotted with people, tramps, village idiots, Polish POWs, just stuck in the mud. The bonus feature of Bad Blood is that it also happens to be a superb memoir of a daughter of the 1950s who got knocked up but not knocked down.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Bad Blood, a memoir by Lorna Sage.